God, thanks that we can have some fun together doing some chalk drawings and playing and naming our groups and having some fun bonding time. God, would you bless our night tonight as we talk about community 101? Why have community? Why is it important? Why do we need it? And how do we do it well? How do we live life together in a way that honors you and helps each other grow? So God, we pray you bless tonight and help us connect with one another and with you. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you guys like strange words? Any of you guys like strange words? So I got a strange word for you. It's called koinonia. I know. It's a Greek word, and that's like the phonetic pronunciation. Anybody know what in the world does that mean? Is it like some weird coffee bean? Is it like some ancient candy bar from Rome? Any idea what it might be? About unity. Okay, yeah, we're getting somewhere now. Living in fellowship with one another. I think you read the definition out of some Greek dictionary. That's impressive. Yeah. All right, so strange word, right? We're going to get to that a little bit later, but I just kind of wanted to pique your interest with something funny. It kind of sounds like a carnival ride to me. I don't know. Hey, you want to go ride the koinonia? Yeah, man, that thing totally makes me sick. Right? Yeah. All right, so we're jumping in Community 101. So what is community? And when I was thinking about it, most of the people don't think about the community that we're talking about tonight. So I'd have to go backwards. Like, if you just went out on the street and said, hey, what is community? What would people say? What would that be like? And in my mind, I thought of, well, basically, it's kind of like you have the city. It's kind of like the community, right? So you said, I'm going to help the community, or I need to do community service because I got in trouble. All right, you're usually helping the town out, right, in some form. And so that might be for us. It might be Hilliard or Columbus or Dublin or Plain City or London or whatever it might be. Some city, some suburb of Columbus perhaps. It might be the community that you live in, right? And usually in some type of community, you've got community services, right? So what might be a service that the community might offer to people? You guys give me some examples. If your house is on fire, what do? You call 911, and if you're in a good community, who shows up? The neighbors. No. The fire department. Yeah. And so we pay money to the community in the form of taxes to pay for things like fire, police, things like that. How many of you enjoy a hot shower? Okay. The community provides a service to your house in the form of water and utilities, right? Yeah, okay. So you got this big picture community. What does community do? What's it for? Okay. Usually helps keep the peace, usually helps govern and helps the city function, helps build roads and traffic lights and schools and things like that, right? The next smaller type of community might be the people who live on your street, okay? Or maybe you're in a cul-de-sac, or maybe you are in a subdivision. So raise your hand if you live in a subdivision. Hold on. Subdivision. Who lives in a subdivision? Anybody know the name of your subdivision? Western Lakes, okay? I live in Heritage Farms. How about the rest of you? You guys live in a subdivision? There's one called, like, the Glen over in Mill Run. There's a whole bunch of different ones. Just shout out the name of your street. Okay, I totally couldn't hear you, but yeah. So you might live in a neighborhood, and there's people on your street that you know, right? So that's this kind of neighborhood community, a little bit smaller than the big one. And then we've got this idea that a lot of people don't really quite grasp and understand, and it's this idea of biblical community. What is that? And it has to do with the word you guys were trying to define earlier, koinonia, not the carnival ride, but fellowship, communion, and this connecting with one another. Living life together would be a good way to define it, okay? In fact, if I was going to actually read to you from the fantastic online source of Wikipedia, because we know everything from there is true, right? Yeah, okay, so Greek word means communion, to have joint participation in, to share in something. Perhaps you went in together and had a joint gift, it says, a collection, a contribution, or this is kind of where we're going. It identifies the idealized state of fellowship and unity that should exist within the Christian church or the body of Christ. Hey, that's pretty good for Wikipedia, right? That's the idea that we're going to talk about. What does it mean for us as high school and middle school students to live in harmony together and move toward God together? Patrick, you got a question? It takes more than one person. Thank you. Can't have community alone, right? Yeah, can't have community alone. And I would say community is different than teamwork. Teamwork usually revolves around an end goal, like winning a game or a season, and it usually ends after that thing has been accomplished. And I would say community is more ongoing, and it's about living life together for more like long term, right? All right, so we're going to jump in. So why do we need it? Why in the world does the church exist? Why do we have community like this? Why do we have youth group on Tuesday night? Why does Frog get together? Well, it's like this. Well, if we just ask the big question in general, why do we need community at all? So why do we need the city? What good is the city? Well, we talked about some of the services the city provides, right? How many of you would just rather live out in the country with no city and no rules and no water and no electricity and no internet and no utilities? Because some of you have those things out in the country, but I'm talking like just go way out west and live on the land. Okay, some of you might enjoy that, right? Sometimes that can be super lonely. The benefits of having a city are, you know, you can end up having commerce, right? How many of you like buying and selling stuff? And if you're not in community, kind of hard to do that, right? It's nice to have a gas station once in a while. Ever been on a road trip and there just wasn't enough gas stations between here and there and you really had to pee really bad, or you ran out of gas, or you needed a snack and there was no place to eat, right? Sometimes that gets really stretched out. So community can provide some services that I think can be helpful for us. We already talked about police and fire and government and things like that. Your neighborhood community, what does living in your neighborhood provide for you? What do you think? I've got a few ideas up there, but you can add to it. Friends, okay. So you got friends in your neighborhood? Friends that live on your street? Friends that live across the way? Ever borrow stuff from somebody in your neighborhood? Yeah? A bicycle, a lawnmower, a pair of crutches. I don't know. What do you need? A pound of flour, some sugar. I don't know. Do people do that anymore? Yeah. Hey, I need a ride. Can you take me into town? You know, whatever it may be. Can you take me to this place? Can you pick me up? Friendships. What else we got up there? Some security. All right, well, let's move on. So biblical community, what does it provide for you and for me? I believe it provides a deeper, not just regular friendship, but a deeper sense of relationship and connection with people. And it can help you grow spiritually, right? Doesn't it help to have other people your age growing and moving the same direction toward God? If you feel like you're the only one doing it, it can be hard to grow, right? And if nobody's going to be really honest with you and be like, you know what, you really need to just stop that behavior because it's not what God wants you to be doing. Sometimes we need people to speak truth into our life, right? Or you're going through a hard time and you need people to carry the load with you, right? You guys remember the old song, Lean On Me? Remember how it goes? Lean on me when you're not strong. Yeah, right? That could be a theme song for what life group and what community is about, right? Having somebody to lean on. Can I tell you a time in my life when I needed to lean hard on my life group or my cell group? I'm in an adult group, right? And when we were moving, man, it was crazy. Our house sold before we were really ready, couldn't find another house, had to move to an apartment, and then kids had to move schools and all this kind of stuff, put all of our stuff into storage. You know what community did for us? You know what our cell group did for us? They were awesome. They provided meals and food and sympathy when, like, life started to really stink, right, and we couldn't find stuff. We borrowed things from them that we couldn't find or didn't have. They helped physically move us twice in the same year. That's like real love right there, right? Moving furniture and beds and dressers and all kinds of stuff, right? And then they were a shoulder to cry on when we just didn't feel like we were experiencing life like God meant. We just felt like something else was supposed to happen and it just didn't. Like, what do you do with disappointment? Well, you lean on friends, you know? Ever had a hard time and a friend helped you out? Throw your hand up. Ever had a hard time and a friend helped you out? Yeah. That's the kind of community that we're going to talk about. All right, so in the Bible, there's a famous section of scripture about the early church, when the church was just beginning, when it transitioned from being like this temple and Jewish worship life and culture and sacrifices and things like that, to this Christian church after Jesus had come. And what did it look like for them to gather together, and what did church look like? They didn't necessarily have a building to go to, and it looked a little bit more like this. So who feels like reading a kind of a big paragraph? All right, I saw this hand first.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he hadn't need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the flavor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
No, it's good. It's good. What does that look like? Can you guys picture that? What are the people doing? They're eating meals. Where? In each other's homes. Okay? And then what are they doing with their stuff? They're sharing it. They're selling it. They're meeting people's needs, right? Isn't that crazy? What if there's a family that was hungry and you decided to sell your Xbox so you could help that family have food for the month, right? Or what if there was somebody else in need, right? And you decided, hey, here, I've got 3 bicycles. You can have one of mine. Or I've got 16 pairs of shoes. How about if you take 8? Okay? I'm just saying we've got stuff, right? Why couldn't we share, right? These guys are sharing, and God was showing up, right? They're meeting together. They're praying together. They're breaking bread together. They're sharing life together. And then what's God doing at the end there? What's God doing? And the Lord added to their number daily. I mean, people were coming to Christ daily back then because they're watching and living in community, and they're seeing how it works. And it was cool, and it was dynamic. And this was church, right? It wasn't just some stuffy cement building somewhere where people just showed up once a week, right? It was where they lived and what they needed, and people were doing life together. So what does that look like for us to live life together? I thought it might be helpful if we borrowed a movie clip from The Hobbit. So if you guys like movies, movie clips, let me just set it up for you. The first movie of The Hobbit, Bilbo and the dwarves have just escaped from the goblins and stuff underground and escaping from Gollum, right? The orcs and all that stuff, right? Well, let's just say Bilbo's not quite accepted among the dwarves, right? And so this is a scene about them and their relationship with him and how they're going to kind of come together at the end, all right? Let's take a look. All right, so in that first clip, Bilbo had this ring of invisibility, and he'd snuck through the underground caverns and escaped. And you could hear them talking behind his back because they didn't know he was there, right? And that, they didn't really trust him, and they doubted him. And Thor and Oakenshield didn't really want Bilbo to be a part of their group, of their community, right? And Bilbo proves himself. And we skip the scene where there's a big battle, and Thorin gets hurt by the white orc, and the eagles or whatever, the giant birds, take him to the top of the mountain. But you know what ends up happening? This rich, deep brotherhood is formed between Bilbo and these dwarves and their journey. And where are they trying to go? To the Lonely Mountain to reclaim their homeland. And Bilbo signs on as part of the journey. Says, I will help you reclaim your homeland if you can, right? You guys, we're on a journey too, but our journey isn't to reclaim a homeland inside of a mountain. It's this journey of faith together. And I guess my question to you is this. Will you passionately bond together in a brotherhood and a rich sisterhood and pursue the journey toward God together? So anyway, back to this idea of community. Did you know the Bible is full of ways that we need to connect with one another? Did you guys know that? So here's the deal. I've got a list of about 14 different ways that the Bible urges us to connect with each other. I'm just going to cruise through them quick, and then we're actually going to jump to group, and you're going to have a chance to do this, okay? All right, I need a couple readers. Who wants to read the first 3? Actually, I'll read one at a time. Kyla, you got 1, okay? Who wants the next one? 2. Who wants the next one? 3. Awesome. All right, here we go. Kyla, start for us.
Love one another. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another.
Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 12:10.
Live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another.
Awesome. Thanks for repeating that. All right, so here's the first 3. Love one another, be devoted to one another, live in harmony with one another. What does that look like for teenagers in your groups, even tonight, to do that? How do you love each other in your group? That's a good question. How can you really be devoted and passionately pursue God together as a team? And then how can you live in harmony with each other? What does that look like? Well, living in harmony means you're not fighting, you're not bickering, you're not quarreling. You're trying to do what's best for the other people, right? All right, here's the next three. Accept one another. This is Romans 15. It says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. And then serve one another. A lot of you have memorized this one or have heard it or used it on our mission project. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. You guys remember that? Galatians 5:13. Cool. And then we got another one. You want to read it for me?
Bear with one another. Be completely humble with your tool. Be patient. Bear with one another in love.
All right, raise your hand if people get on your nerves sometimes. Okay. You might be in a life group where there's people that get on your nerves. Tough. Deal with it. Do this. Bear with each other. You might be in a life group where people have problems and issues and hard times. You know what? Bear with each other. In love, help carry that burden. Now, it doesn't mean people can be selfish and rude and just dominate the whole time all the time, but it does mean we need to be a little bit patient with each other, especially with maybe those we don't even get along with. Learning to serve each other, learning to accept each other, right? So there's three more. We're going to do another three. Here's another one. Be kind and compassionate to one another. This is Ephesians 4. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Anybody guilty of being rude, selfish, mean, sarcastic? Okay. Do you ever bring attitude to your life group on a Tuesday night? Okay. God's like, look, I understand that, but you need to do this. Step up and be kind and compassionate in your group. Okay. Submit to one another. How many of you like submitting to authority? Not the best feeling sometimes, okay? It can be healthy, it can be good, but usually we're not like, oh, you know what I can't wait to do this weekend? I can't wait to submit to all the authorities in my life. That would be awesome. Oh my gosh, no, right? We usually want to be independent. We usually want to punk authority. We want to do our own thing. But God's like, look, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So defer to your life group leader. Are you with me? Defer to one another that, you know what, maybe God wants to speak through somebody else in your group to impact you. And then forgive one another. Oh, my gosh. This is a tough one because I know in this room we have hurt each other. We've offended each other. We have annoyed each other. We have bothered each other. We have wronged each other. We have sinned against one another. I've been on trips with you where after a couple hours in the van, we need to pause and forgive each other for that smell we made, for that comment we said, for that attitude we did. Are you with me? That living together in community requires some forgiveness. So I love this one in Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know what? You might just need to have a let's all come to Jesus party in your life group. Maybe you've got issues or drama or problems or frustrations or relationship stuff or whatever, and your life group needs to kind of dig into that and then forgive and apologize to each other and try to bring some unity back to your group, you know? Here's some more. Somebody read this one, Colossians 3:16. Teach and admonish one another. Who wants that?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God.
Cool. I know I do a lot of the teaching up front, but in your life group, it can be an awesome time to apply what you learned. Does that make sense? To take what we did with the Bible, to take some scripture and help apply it in your group. So what does it look like this week if I have to try and love my annoying brother or sister this week? That's tougher. And then you get real specific, and Owen calls me out. And he's like, so Larry, what is specific goal that you're going to do this week to love your sons? Wow, Owen, that's convicting. Let me think about that. I should probably work on my anger and maybe try to be more kind and understanding with them. That would be good. Ask me next week how that went. See how that worked? All of a sudden, Owen is now holding me accountable, right? Okay, thanks, Owen. Nice job. All right, but you get the idea that Owen can help teach and speak into my life by using the Bible, the scripture, right? Encourage one another. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. That's 1 Thessalonians. How many of you ever come to youth group on a Tuesday night and somebody encouraged you at some point? Ever walk away encouraged by somebody? Because it's a big deal. We kind of live in a funky, depressed teenage society, you know? A lot to get down about, a lot to be sad about, a lot to be frustrated about, and we need one another to build each other up, right? We need encouragement. Sometimes we just need encouragement because you're having a crappy day. Sometimes you need an encouragement to do the right thing because you don't want to do the right thing. Sometimes you need encouragement to persevere, to keep going because you want to quit and you want to give up. And so we need each other, right? Somebody read the last one here on this page, James 5. Who wants that?
Confess your sins to one another. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed.
You guys know the Bible talks a lot about asking Jesus to forgive us and confessing our sins to Christ privately in our own hearts and through our own prayers. But you know what? There's a public aspect to living in community with people you trust that are going to keep that in the group and not just blab about it, you know, at lunch tomorrow. But that there can be some real healing when we expose some of the sin in our heart and share that with our group. You, one, might find out other people struggle with something similar. Two, you might find some grace and some forgiveness and freedom that maybe you didn't have. Because sometimes I think we can be our worst guilt critics. Are you with me? That we feel like our sin is so bad and so consuming that there's no way that God could forgive it. No way we could reconnect with Christ about it. And so sometimes we need to share that in a group, you know, in a confidential way that people could be, you know, experience some forgiveness within, among other people, I guess, is a way to say it. You know, I'm just going to pause right there. Our life groups are meant to be a time where you're connecting and growing and pursuing God together, even doing these things, encouraging each other, teaching one another, and confessing our sin. But I would say, you know what, let's keep what we share in our group. Is that cool? That we can keep what you share in your group, because we don't want it to end up at school, right? We want it to be confidential, if it can be, to help us grow and connect, because otherwise people won't feel like we can trust each other. Does that make sense? So if we could kind of make a deal, let's kind of keep what we share in our group, unless it's something dangerous. If it's something where you're trying to harm yourself or someone's trying to harm you, if there's a real factor that way, then your life group leader probably needs to bring me in on it just so we can try to make sure that you're healthy and safe. Other than that, I would say, you know what? I don't need to know about every single person's business in the youth group, but I do want you guys to learn to trust and share with one another, right? And not just go home and tell, hey, Mom, guess what so-and-so is wrestling with? Don't need that. Okay? But I think sharing that with one another is good. Here's the last two. Somebody read the top one. Who wants it?
Stop passing judgment on one another. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Romans 14:13.
You guys, you know what? It's easy when people start confessing sin, then we start labeling people. Oh, you're a liar. Oh, you're a cheat. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're that. Are you with me? So let's not label each other and judge each other, because someday you might struggle with something similar, you know? And we've all got our own issues. It doesn't have to be the same stuff. But God's like, look, it's not our place to judge. It's our place to listen, to forgive, to accept, and to teach and admonish and correct if we need to. And here's the last one, which might sound kind of weird, but I think it'll make sense to you when we're done. So who wants to read the last one?
Agree with one another. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Yeah, and you know what? Agreeing with one another might sound like, well, we're not allowed to have our own opinions and thoughts. No, I don't think that's it. I think it's this idea of unity. Don't end up in a place where you're dividing your life group or fighting over things or being in disagreement about stuff to fight about it. Does that make sense? God wants us to be unified. So basically, you could rewrite this and say, get along with each other, okay? Yes, you can have your own opinions and thoughts, but I think at the end, God wants us to be unified in Christ. Does that make sense? So I know we've covered a ton of scripture and a whole lot of ideas. I'm just going to sum it up with you with one last slide, okay? There's a whole bunch of them right there. I'm going to cruise through them. But here's a question I want you to think about in your head. Hey, Larry, what should I do in my life group? Why do we have life group? What's it for? Why do we meet? Why do we take 30 minutes at the end of the night by grade, okay? What in the world is that about? Daniel's right. It's up on the board. In your life group, do this. Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Submit to one another. Forgive one another. Teach and admonish one another. Encourage one another. Confess your sins to one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. And agree with one another. Can I be honest? That's not the end. There is more scripture in the Bible. But do you think God's onto something? Do you think Jesus meant something? Do you think Paul, when he's talking to these churches about how to do church in life, do you think they were harping on something important? Usually in the Bible, if it's repeated, you should pay attention. If it's repeated again, it is super important. But look at this, man. God, a laundry list of the ways that we're supposed to live in community. This is how the church is supposed to function, not just youth group, not just life group. The adults are supposed to do this too, from, you know, the youngest to the oldest, all of us working together. Wouldn't that be a cool witness to the whole world about how we're getting along and loving each other, right? Hard to do, not easy to do. But if you wonder why we meet, why do we have life group, this is what it's about. Cool? All right, I'm going to sum it up in a quick few tips, and then you're off to your groups. In your group, listen well. Don't be dorking around, picking your nose, playing with paper, getting on your phone, you know, going crazy with snacks. Pay attention and listen to the other people. Ask good questions. Ask a follow-up question. Somebody's like, I had a bad day. And if nobody asks them why, and you find out later, wow, grandma passed away, or man, they failed their test, or wow, something major happened, it's a missed opportunity. So ask questions. And then encourage them and relate to them. Hey, can anybody relate to having a bad day? And everybody's like, oh, yeah. Sometimes we forget to relate. So relate so the other people in your group kind of feel like you're tracking with them. Encourage them and then build some trust and be open. Maybe your group doesn't talk below level one. You're super surfacey. And maybe you got to take some guts to be like, you know what? I'm going to go down here and share something bigger and something that maybe people don't know as much or something that you're really struggling with or need help with. Okay. So can I do that with you right now? I'm going to do number four, build trust and be open. Would you pray for my family this week? My wife is having surgery on Friday. Yeah. Kind of a big deal, and I'm nervous and kind of scared for her. And I don't know, it's kind of a big deal. So pray for her. She's having surgery, and she's going to be at the hospital a couple days, and it's going to be, you know, a 4 to 6 week recovery, kind of a long deal. And so I'm going to be having to, you know, carry more weight at home, and it's just going to be challenging to figure out, but what I'm really worried about, I just want her to be healthy, you know? So anyway, did you see what I did with you right there? Just, did you know that about me? Maybe not. But I need your help, and I need to lean on you with some community. So, and then do this. Yeah, pray for one another. And not just on a Tuesday night. You know, one of our high school groups decided, you know what we're going to do so that we're remembering to pray for each other? They wrote down prayer requests on an index card. At the end of their life group, they handed them out. And then throughout the week, those people took them with them to school and in their wallet and in their purse. And when they pull it out and remember, they're like praying throughout the week for that same person's thing going on. Does that make sense? That's kind of cool. That was just their idea of how they're going to make that work. So, all right, enough talk. Go do life group together. Cool? Grab your stuff. There's questions in your box. There's Rice Krispie treats. Find a space, and I hope you have a good group.